Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's lonesome in this old town. Everybody puts me down. I'm a face without a name, just walking in the rain, going back to Houston, Houston, Houston. I got holes in both of my shoes while I'm a walking case of the blues. Saw a dollar yesterday, but the wind blew it away, going back to Houston, Houston, Houston. I haven't eaten in about a week. I'm so hungry when I walk, I squeak. Nobody calls me friend. It's sad the shape I'm in, going back to Houston, Houston, Houston. Back to Houston, Houston, Houston. I got a girl with mail for me. Well, at least she said she'd be. I got a home and a big warm bed and a feather pillow for my head. Going back to Houston, Houston, Houston. Well, it's lonesome in this old town. Everybody puts me down. I'm a face without a name, just walking in the rain, going back to Houston, Houston, Houston. Going back to Houston, Houston.
Hey, hey, I'm here, just getting with you. James Bostic, should be anyway. Conservatives' perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. It's Tuesday or Thursday. It must be Patriot Nation Radio. And we're on Blog Talk, so that means we're live. Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are live on Blog Talk Radio at Patriot Nation Radio. We have a recorded version of the program that goes out on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, you ought to be, because it's the very best in conservative libertarian talk radio. Well, it's kind of weird being on the radio. I haven't done this in a while. As most of you know, I've been involved in this cohort that's been training potential candidates for, potential candidates for a teaching position here in the county, my home state, West Virginia. And that's kind of been taking up some time. And Thursday nights, invariably, when we met live or when we met at all through Zoom meetings, whenever, that was going to be Thursday night, so there were times when I just couldn't be here. Nice to be here with you anyway. About three weeks ago, we had a show, did an interview with a friend of ours, author, lawyer, political observer, Gene Berardelli. Gene talked about his political journey, his new book, Schnooks, Crooks, Liars, and Scoundrels. And we're going to go ahead and play that again tonight. Something happened. I'm not exactly sure what happened this time, but somehow in the editing process, and I hate this like a Dickens, the first, I don't know, 45 seconds of the interview, I don't know what happened to it. I guess somehow inadvertently not paying attention to what I was doing, which is most likely the explanation, it got lost. I screwed up, did something wrong. Not exactly sure how it happened, but the first 45, 50 seconds, minute or so of the interview isn't there. What we lead in with is Gene talking about his early days in New York. He's in Chicago now. He's talking about his early days in New York and how the idea came for the radio show that he had a couple years back. It was called Behind Enemy Lines. Let's go ahead and get on with that. Gene Berardelli from about 2.5, 3 weeks ago, interview here on Conservatives Protect. That's easy for me to say, but then I talk about it here on a conservative's perspective.
I was made deputy chairman of the law committee. So there was clearly room for advancement because there's not so many Republicans in Brooklyn. We're outnumbered like 8-1 in the whole borough, or as everybody else would know it, the County of Kings in New York City. So in that time, I started a little radio show, started out as Brooklyn GOP Radio, turned into a show that actually went on terrestrial radio for a little while called Behind Enemy Lines. And on that show, we would have a segment called Buffoon of the Week, where we would all vote, me and my friends, on the dumbest newsmaker of the week. So from our experiences in politics and from our experiences doing the show, a debate started raging amongst my group of friends of, you know, who's the dumber politician? And the conversation would happen all the time. The criteria would be range from, you know, who made the dumbest speech to who would you least want to be sitting next to at one of those rubber chicken dinners that every politician makes you go to. So it turned into this ongoing argument. And we started thinking, there's really no way to quantify or to measure one political idiotic character from another. So we tried to come up with this criterion, and it turned into this great book that I ended up writing now, fast forward 10 years later, called Schnooks, Crooks, Liars, and Scoundrels, which is a field guide to how to observe these political buffoons in the wild, so to speak, and to identify traits among the various classifications and variations that we identify within the book.
Schnooks, crooks, say that again.
Liars, crooks, and scoundrels.
And scoundrels. Okay, that covers the spectrum from D.C. To your county commissions.
Oh,
there's
absolutely
a lot of that going on. And it's gratifying, I think, in a lot of ways to see these books, because what you're talking about there is the same kind of stuff, really, that Trevor Loudon's doing, that Pete Schweitzer's doing, that Miranda Devine did with her book, The Laptop for Mail. And what it is it's exposing these people. And
Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
What I was going to say was, and everybody's doing the same thing, okay? Number one, Peter Schweitzer was right in his book, Throw Them All Out. They're all crooks, every single one of them. And it's as though with the establishment media, with the establishment guys who are both, I think, duplicitous as well as complicitous, there are so many people out there that simply just don't know the real story. And
I would definitely tend to agree with that. The only problem I have with what you're saying is I would not put me in the same company with great minds like Schweitzer, Miranda Devine, Trevor Loudon. I'm not in this bunch. Okay. I am nowhere near this bunch. These are some deep thinkers. My book is absolutely semi-serious. It's meant to be satirical in nature as well. And while you can learn something from it, and you probably should learn something from it, I'm doing this as sort of, you know, the kid in the back row of the auditorium shooting spitballs at everyone else. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Every conservative wants to do, you know?
Well, and these people are deserving of ridicule. I mean, in my opinion, some of the things they do, it's almost as though they really work hard for it. And you're absolutely right. Those are some great thinkers, but don't sell yourself short, Gene. Everybody's doing the same thing, I think, and that is putting that spotlight on them. They can't avoid any of the things that they've done because it can't be whitewashed anymore, because we have memories too, and we can hit click and record and save too. And so everything that they say comes back to them. For a long time, I think they operated with impunity because, again, you had a complicitous press aiding them the whole way, covering, lying, And when 2 or 3 years later we finally get to the truth of a particular issue, doesn't matter. And so we have to we have to keep the light on these guys.
Oh, no doubt about that. And honestly, the premise I start from when I look at this whole thing is we all need to come to the realization that we're to blame for this entire conflagration of buffoonery in our leadership. It's
Agreed.
Our fault. We let it happen because there were so many things other than politics that drew our attention that we put as priority over who's going into these leadership positions. So when they start out at that local level, county commissioner, county organizations, city organizations, you know, town organizations, whatever the case may be, whether it be public office or for party office, that's where it's got to start. That's where you have to start looking and weeding out these people. That's where all these parents have got it right and looking at their school boards now. The best thing that could have happened to politics is that the local level started really abusing their power and people started paying attention and saw a way to make a difference in their local community. Because that's where you got to start with weeding out these buffoons. Otherwise, they metastasize and they graduate up to deeper and more insidious forms of buffoonery that we can talk about the different things that we identify. But it's got to start at that local level, and it's got to start with us taking a stand and saying, we're done with this. We're done with these people who, with the $5,000 suits and the $1 million smiles and the 10-cent brains, we're absolutely got to be done with that. We need to start looking inward towards character, towards merit, towards accomplishment, instead of dealing with the next cult of personality.
And that's a very good way to put it, because that's what happens a lot of times. And I don't want to take anything away from the successes that President Trump had, but you could see the beginnings of something very close to that with him. And it doesn't matter what side it's on. Those things have to be watched very, very closely. And you're right. And it never ends. What you're talking about, the vetting process, it never, ever ends. It's always going to depend on an informed and disseminating electorate. And, yeah, it's your boards of education. It's your county commissions. It's your state houses of legislature and all the way up. And if these guys aren't doing, if they're not trying to implement the mandate that they're sent to Washington with, then we got to get them out of there and we got to try something else.
100%. It's got to start at the local level.
What do you think about term limits? What are your thoughts on term limits?
I think term limits are an easy way out for a citizenry to stop electing someone who they would just get used to doing. Whenever
right.
I think about term limits, I think about the movie. Did you ever see the movie The Distinguished Gentleman with Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
That's what I think about when I think about term limits. The whole premise, for those who didn't see it, the whole premise of the film is that Eddie Murphy's a con man who gets into a seat in Congress because he happened to have a name similar to the congressman who was from his area that had just passed away, and he shortened his name to match the other guy's name because people were voting purely on name recognition and not vetting who the candidate was. Politics. We rely so much on tribal politics. We vote for the laundry. It's like rooting for a sports team that you don't care about whether the players on the team are good or not. You just care about whether the team wins. If they're wearing your laundry, they're on your team, and therefore you're going to support them no matter what. Doesn't matter if the guy had, you know, was taking PEDs during the off season and didn't get caught. He's on your squad. But if that other team has someone on there that's juicing, you're gonna cry to high heaven about that player and how they're not following
right.
the rules. You know, there's a
right.
politics has become tribalism. And what I'm trying to say in the book, besides, you know, stop voting for idiots, is dig deeper in your analysis. And once you start doing that, you'll start seeing these range of buffoons starting from, like, you know, the, oh, bless your heart, you're so cute and dumb, to, wow, you're radioactive, and look at all the people you're taking down with you.
Did you think that the things that have happened with Joe Biden over the last 3 or 4, did you ever actually see that as a real possibility before it actually happened?
I mean, I don't want to pick on the infirmed. I don't think that's what we're here for. I think Joe Biden is, you know, God bless him.
I don't mean it from that, but I mean the fact that, I honest to God, I never thought the guy had a chance. I thought he was the best they could do, and then he turns around and he wins, and I did not know what to think.
I think what people did was they underestimated the anti-Trump vote. 81 million people didn't vote for Joe Biden. 81 million people voted against Donald Trump for the most part. I don't think you can find a Biden supporter who, first of all, under 70, let alone anyone over 70, because to me it was more about the higher the dislike was for Trump, the alternative just looked that much better to a lot of people who gave – a very superficial 30,000-feet view of politics and didn't look into the policies that were actually working and that they were benefiting from. That was the biggest problem with the election. It wasn't the Biden vote. It was the anti-Trump vote.
And, again, that goes back to an informed and disseminating electorate, doing your homework.
Absolutely, and Lord knows we are a nation as a collective that hates doing homework. We have become silly people. We have become a very silly, frivolous people who expects everything to be handed to them and that they can make as few decisions as possible so that way they can get back to watching, you know, whatever they're binging on Netflix. We've become a very silly population. Look what's going on around the world now. We used to, you know, 60, 70 years ago, people who were half my age, I'm in my 40s, people who were in half my age were being sent over to war with the mission of saving the world. You're going to trust the safety of the world to a bunch of 20-somethings nowadays? I don't think so. At least
oh, my God, no.
Not my opinion. So,
no.
So if we can start making fun of what we have now and realize since everyone in Washington and everyone in all local politics aren't taking this seriously, therefore I'm not going to take you seriously. And I'm going to call you out for being the buffoon that you are and explain to the world why you're a buffoon.
And I was just thinking, man, what a target-rich environment that you're up against.
Oh, my God.
Every day.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, just look, as we're recording this right now, the lieutenant governor of the People's Republic of New York had to resign because he got caught up in his campaign finance fraud scheme. So it's been 0 days since the last New York politics. You know, we used to do a thing on my show, Behind Enemy Lines, and I used to do it. We just call it Reset the Clock. How many days has it been since the last New York politician got arrested or indicted or convicted of something? So we got to reset the clock again here in New York, the capital of corruption. It's just that simple, you know. It that's how it is. But, you know, what I have to say, this whole thing that I come up with, this whole idea of what I like to call the pseudoscience of buffoonology, it does have its roots in one New York politician, activist, whatever you want to call him. In the book, we identify about 11 different types of buffoonery, ranging, like I said, from the benign to the very serious. And in each discrete category we've identified, there has only been one person throughout American history that we can say fit into every single category and therefore is our perfect buffoon. He ranks 100 out of 100 on our scales that we've created. We've named the scales after him. James, let me give you one guess who it is. Has to be like from the ridiculous buffoon to the dangerous type. It's like the whole gamut. I'll give you one guess, and then I guarantee you will agree as soon as I say his name.
Okay, we're going to discount, and we're going to throw out of that mix. We're going to throw out Joe Biden for the already stated purposes. So that leaves us with.
It leaves you with so many. Try to narrow.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll give you one hint.
Let me give you some hint.
From New York. Never held elective office, has been an analyst on TV, has been portrayed on TV and in movies, and he's been around for about 40 years.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, I don't want to have too much dead air.
No, let's
the
go.
The answer
go,
is the perfect buffoon is Reverend Al Sharpton.
Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely.
See?
Absolutely.
Think about it. He's been absolutely
he Jesse
ridiculous.
Jackson. We're running through my mind a couple other guys, but yeah, I was leaning towards more political. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
The perfect political buffoon has been, you know, portrayed in movies like in Bonfire of the Vanities, has, you know, had battles with the teleprompter on his MSNBC show, has been called, he's used every type of racial epithet that there is other than for his own race. He's run for office and failed. You name it, he's done it in politics. He is our lodestone. He is our guiding star, the lodestar
yeah.
for every buffoon to come and that has come in history.
Resist we much.
Oh, my goodness. I mean,
about that. Be concerned.
Oh, yes. Be committed. Yes. That's the one we measure them all by. So in each chapter of the book where we identify a discrete classification of a buffoon, we have to include a section discussing how Reverend Al fits into each category. And you'll see there's at least one example for each different classification of buffoon that we highlight. And, it's all in the book for everybody to see.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well then the name of that is Schnooks, Crooks, Liars
and Scoundrels.
And Scoundrels. It's available now, or is it due soon?
Okay, so here's the fun part of this whole thing. As we're testing right now, it's not on Amazon yet. It's gonna be released to everybody else in the fall, but because you guys are on the inside track here, everybody who's listening to this show, you're a discerning listener. You're obviously politically educated. Otherwise, you wouldn't be, listening to a great man like James here. Because you guys are so hip and so with it and so into it, I developed a campaign on Indiegogo right now. You contribute to the campaign, and I will send you a signed book as a thank you for it. So if you go to Indiegogo.com and you sign up for the campaign, you sign up for one of the perks there, and you'll get a signed book from me, hand signed by me with a little personalized note thanking you for helping out and being in on the ground floor of this. Free shipping, you don't have to pay anything just by contributing to the campaign. It's my way of thanking everyone.
Schnooks, Crooks, Liars, and Scoundrels. Gene Berardelli. You're going to have to want to check it out. Okay, Gene, you've been so – thank you once again. It is not going to be as long before next time. I promise you that. But I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
At the end of last month, and I know you know about this, President Trump filed this massive civil lawsuit in Miami concerning the dossier, all the crap, all the usual suspects are there, Hillary Clinton, Robert Mook, John Podesta, Mark Elias, Perkins Coie, all the people that we know were involved with this. This scam, this fraud, and now I know he is a showman, and he does a great many things for effect and appearance. What is your opinion on what's going on with this? If you familiarize yourself with it or know about it.
Sure, I'm familiar with the filing, although I haven't read the entire filing. Obviously, having an active law practice is very hard to look into, cases just for fun. It's kind of hard to do. But in looking at the case and understanding that, that he's basically confronting them for, defaming him for lying against him, I will say that it is a higher bar to bring a claim for defamation if you're a famous person, if you are a person of public interest, than it would be for any other Joe Schmo out there. And in general terms, when you bring a matter like this, you have to not only prove malice towards you, which is a very high standard. while we may think of malice being, you know, malintent against someone and things like that, in a legal sense, we're talking about not only that, but a knowing falsehood, that at the time you're making the defamatory statements and publicizing it, you are knowing, you're doing so knowing that it's absolutely 100% false. So in that sense, to prove a case, you have to use circumstantial evidence to prove that the people who are named in there had absolutely knew that what they were saying was false. Now, you have to remember, when you're dealing with a snake like Hillary Clinton and you're dealing with the Democratic machine, there are going to be many buffers in between the
right.
intended target and the person to whom gave the order, so to speak. If you know, if I'm going to use a mafia reference, you know, I'm a Brooklyn Italian. This is kind of how my mind thinks. So there's going to be these buffers in it. There's going to be Perkins Coie. There's going to be Steele. There's going to be, you know, many intermediaries in between. Remember also, Hillary Clinton had a funding agreement with the DNC. You know, you're going to have to source the funds and see exactly what bank account it came out of to figure out who did what and when. So while it's a very tangled web, I think the biggest issue that they're going to run into here is untangling the evidence and to get the discovery that you want. The DNC has changed over leadership multiple times since this all happened. Who knows
right.
what the records retention policy were for, you know, you're going to have FEC filings, but what about all the discretionary funds or the housekeeping funds that may not have been part of the campaign that may have gone out? You know, a retainer like this could have not been campaign related and just asked for certain work to be done. I don't know exactly what they're going to find on the discovery front. It's good from a political perspective to bring this suit out to remind everybody how there was this conspiracy that lasted for over 4 years and a lot of people's minds continuing to go on. And that's good from a political perspective. And it probably won't get unraveled till after, you know, or close to 2024. So politically, it's a great tactic. Legally speaking, it's an uphill battle. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. But
right.
with a plaintiff like Trump that has the resources that he has, anyone can do it. It's gonna be him in that war chest.
And I'm like you. I'm inclined to think I don't think he really cares about what the legal outcome may be, because I think the political capital to be gained from this would be invaluable compared to any kind of punitive damages he might have been able to get out of these guys.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so big.
In the era of lawfare. Everybody's
right.
suing everybody else for political reasons to try to keep people off the ballot. Look what happened with Madison Cawthorn. Look what's happening with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Look what's happening with Donald Trump and the People's Republic of New York City. All these lawsuits
are going on, not necessarily for justice.
Exactly right. All these lawsuits going on are not for getting to the truth or justice or the American way. It's being enacted as a way to keep people off the ballot to harm their reputations. That's why the January 6th Commission, if that isn't about Trump and keeping other politicians off the ballot, I don't know what it is. We just saw a decision from a D.C. trial court saying that, you know, that a lot of these cases, what's going to end up happening is a lot of these cases can get dismissed because of all the what they like to call the MAGA memos, who were, quote-unquote, invited into the Capitol during the riots that happened down there. And, you know, there's going to be these instances and verdicts coming out of it. It's a quagmire. But the political ramifications for the people like Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney is to show that we're the good Republicans. The Democrats are going after every other Republican. And it's all about the elections. It's not about justice.
Sometimes you look at the enormity of all this and you know, it's all, and it goes back for years. It's convoluted and it runs in all these different directions. And like I tell my listeners a lot of the times, I know sometimes with the subject matter that we talk about, it gets kind of weedy, but they bank on us not wanting to go into the weeds because that's where they live, and we've got to follow them into that in order to find out just exactly what's going on. There's no other way around.
You know what it is, James? It's the tennis ball machine theory of political warfare. You ever see a tennis ball machine that, you know, if you
right.
put it on a certain setting, you'll get that one ball coming out and you'll be able to return it back over the net? They have the setting on super high. They're shooting 20,000 balls at the same time. You can't bat every single one of them back over the net. You have to pick and choose what you want to go after. The one thing that, you know, and I'll say this to your listeners out there, avoid analysis paralysis. Start with something. Pick a small thing to analyze. Become an expert in that small thing. If everybody picks something to analyze and be able to discuss competently, that's how a movement starts. That's how change happens. You can't think of change on a big macro level. It'll become too overwhelming to you. Start with that small thing that you know that you're an expert on. Maybe you know what's going on in your town with your board of elections, and you want to shed some light on that. Do that locally. That's going to help out, believe it or not, on the greater picture. Because if they're doing that small, if they're stealing small, they're going to be stealing big. Let the big guys worry about the steal big. You worry about the steal small, and that will stop the chain going forward into the future. That's why I love what's happening with these school boards. You stop the train right there of the continual indoctrination of students from that level on. If you put a blocker there, the next 20 years you're going to have a higher quality of education for people, and I think more likely they'll become more conservative just by becoming more knowledgeable. Your battles, you know what I'm saying? If you get down to that nitty-gritty for yourself, and Washington will take care of itself after that. But that's what we all need to do together.
We have been talking with Gene Varadelli, author of Schnooks, Crooks, Liars, and Scoundrels. It's coming out soon. To make one more mention, if you would, Gene, about the Indigo thing so that they know about that.
So for those of you that don't know what Indiegogo is, Indiegogo is one of these crowdsourcing websites. But it's different than the others where you just give your money and you donate and say good luck and God bless. What I'm doing is for my crowdsourcing is I give you something in return. I give you a little perk in return. There are different things that you can get if you contribute to my campaign at certain levels. You can, you know, if you contribute to the entry level, you'll get a free – well, not free, you're contributing. You get a signed copy of the book with a little note from me thanking you for your contribution. There'll also be an opportunity. Now, I also have to say with the book, there's a great cartoonist that I have with me right now. His name is Johnny Panisi. He does a lot of great artwork for the Baseball Writers Association of America. Great cartoonist. One of the perks that you can also sign up for is all the drawings that he made for the book we put into a poster, kind of like a nature poster. You see like those birding posters, like, you know, birds of the Northwest.
Right.
Well, I created buffoons of the United States. And there's these great caricatures of all the buffoons that we feature in the book on the poster. You contribute a little extra, we'll send you the poster as well. There's a whole bunch of different levels of perks there, but you can get a signed copy of the book now through Indiegogo.com. Do a search for political buffoonery. That would be the quickest way that you can find the book, Schnooks, Crooks, Liars, and Scoundrels, a field guide for identifying political buffoons. It'll make you laugh like crazy, guys, I'm telling you.
Gene, thanks so much. I'm going to let you go. I know you just got home and you need to get dinner. You need to decompress. And I'm going to be happy to let you do that. I appreciate the generosity you've given us with your time. And once again, it won't be nearly as long between your next visit and now. Thanks.
Oh, I'd
thanks
be
so
happy
much
to come back anytime. Be happy to come back anytime. You guys are the best. Thank you so much. Take care. Be well.
God bless, Jake. Thank you so much. All right. That's fantastic. Gene Varadelli there. A terrific guy. I've known him for years now on Facebook from when he was talking about the Behind Enemy Lines days. That was his radio show. And outstanding guest, and I'm so happy to have done it. Okay, that's all the time we got for now. We're right down at the bottom of the hour. Going to go ahead and do the commercials thing, and we will be back with more of ACP right after this. We'll talk to you here soon.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. In the past 10 days, two separate teenage boys have committed horrifying massacres in public places. On May 14th, 18-year-old Peyton Gendron murdered 10 shoppers in a grocery store in Buffalo. And then yesterday, 18-year-old Salvador Ramos killed 19 small children and two teachers at an elementary school in Texas. Both Gendron and Ramos were very obviously mentally ill. The people around them knew that. Both killers had told other people they planned to commit a mass shooting, and then they did. So what can we learn from this? Well, the first most obvious answer is that the system in place didn't work. Gendron's teacher sent him to a mental hospital for evaluation. They knew he was a threat. They tried their best. He committed a massacre anyway. So we know for a fact that what we're doing isn't working. But we should also be honest enough to acknowledge that it's very hard to know what to do instead. Despite what you may have heard, the problem isn't that we don't care enough. There's not a person in this country who is not horrified by the sight of murdered children. It's the worst thing, and everybody thinks that. The problem is that the human mind is much more complex and harder to control than we like to admit. A person who is intent on committing violence is very hard to stop under any circumstances. An act of Congress isn't going to do it. Neither will gun control. There are more guns in this country than there are people. There always have been. However you feel about that fact, you can acknowledge that we will never get rid of all of those guns. The Constitution prohibits that, and you would set off a civil war if you tried to do it. So gun control, whether you find the slogans appealing or not, will not stop the next Peyton Gendron or Salvador Ramos, and every rational person knows it. The only way to stop these killings is to figure out why American society is producing so many violent young men. There is a reason they are acting this way. What is that reason? And it's not just mass shooters, by the way, the ones you see on television. It's gangbangers and carjackers and armed robbers and indiscriminate haters who push strangers in front of subway trains. We have a lot of people like that in this country all of a sudden, more than you like to think about. Why are they acting this way? That's the only question that matters. Of course, it's the only question our leaders hate to address because there's nothing in it for them. Last night, the President of the United States went on television just hours after 19 small children had been murdered. He didn't do that to uplift or unite the country, which was already united in its sorrow. Instead, he took the opportunity to once again harangue anyone who didn't vote for him. And he did it, as always, with a series of stale talking points left over from the 1980s. It was a shameful display. Here's part of it.
As a nation, we have to ask, when in God's name are we going to stand up to the gun lobby? When in God's name we do what we all know in our gut needs to be done? What in God's name do you need a solvent for except to kill someone? Deer aren't running through the forest with Kevlar vests on, for God's sake. It's just sick. And the gun manufacturers have spent two decades aggressively marketing assault weapons, which make them the most and largest profit. For God's sake, we have to have the courage to stand up to the industry.
Children are dying because the gun lobby is profiting. It's disgusting, he would say something like that. It's also untrue. It's mindless. The New York Times, by the way, said the same thing within hours of the shooting. The gun lobby. Please. The NRA declared bankruptcy last year. The NRA is a husk. In 2021, for example, the tech companies spent more than $70 million lobbying Congress. Big Pharma spent $92 million lobbying Congress in the first quarter of 2021 alone. The NRA spent just $2.2 million total lobbying in all of 2020, a presidential election year. Spare us. Whatever the problem is, it's not the gun lobby. They're not the reason those children were murdered yesterday. It's insulting and divisive and stupid. This is too serious a moment for nonsense like that. Stop. But over at MSNBC, they were completely convinced. Watch.
And again, as President Biden said, I thought he did an extraordinary job last night. And I really do. I feel sorry for those who actually saw that and were actually forced to say something really about him after he did it. I mean, that's how they make their money. It really makes me really sad for them that they have that dark of a soul, that they're that twisted.
Oh, Joe Scarborough said a naughty word on TV. This must be serious. And in fact, it is very serious. In fact, it's too serious for tired partisan platitudes from the Reagan era. Update your profile. Politicians offering solutions to the tragedy that in the end serve only to make their political party more powerful should be excluded from this conversation. It is too important. They are speaking in bad faith, obviously. And so is anyone whose bodyguards carry extended magazines or other so-called weapons of war. They're hypocrites. They have no standing. Get back to us when you follow your own demands. And anyone on TV who's been accused of a crime should also take this opportunity to be very quiet. No one wants a moral lecture from you. But unfortunately, that's essentially all we're getting, more wind, at a time when we need more than that. Beto O'Rourke, who's running for office again because he has no marketable skills, just stormed a press conference to berate Texas officials. He did this in front of the families of some of yesterday's victims. Watch.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Sit down.
You're out of line and an embarrassment.
Hey. Sit down.
Next shooting is right now, and you're doing nothing.
No. Please, to get the out of here. This isn't the place to talk this over.
This is totally predictable. When you,
sir, you're out of line. Sir, you're out of line. Sir, you're out of line. Please leave this auditorium. I can't believe you're a sick son of a that would come to a deal like this to make a political issue. It's only like you. Why don't you get out of here?
Oh, come on. That's saving lives. That's making this a better country. Beto O'Rourke sounds like one of those lunatics from the Westboro Baptist Church gets off on making a scene. But that's essentially the answer we've gotten to how to fix and prevent what happened in Uvalde. Please. Anyone who talks like this should be quiet for a minute and leave it to everybody else to figure out why this is happening. And this is bigger than a single mass shooting or even two of them in 10 days. There has been a huge increase in violence in America, on our streets, on public transportation, in our schools. It's not a guess. It's measurable. From January 1st to April 10th of this year, robberies in the New York transit system are up more than 70% year over year. Felony assaults in the subway have increased by 28%. Grand larceny, according to the NYPD, is up by more than 100%. Those are all crimes of violence. And that's just underground. The same thing is happening on the streets. And if you don't know it, you just got back to the country after a while. According to ABC News, quote, about 11% of violent crime in the city of Los Angeles involved a homeless person in 2018, 13% in 2019, and 15% in 2020. If that was a graph, it would look like that. Keep in mind, the homeless make up about 1% of the total population of Los Angeles, but they're involved in nearly a fifth of all violent crimes in the city. Oh, but ignore it. It's not happening. And yet everyone who lives here knows that it is happening because the numbers go up every year. And if you have kids, you know what's happening because it's the same story in the schools. The executive director of the National Association of School Resource Officers, Mo Kennedy, told Fox Business that schools are, quote, seeing more aggression in terms of fights. Sometimes they're shoving matches, and sometimes they're flat-out assaults. It's more misbehavior, thefts, and those kinds of things in schools. It didn't used to happen. It's happening now. Why? It's not guns. It's not the gun lobby. More American families had guns at home 50 years ago than they do now. According to the RAND Corporation, which studied this, 45% of American homes had a gun in 1980. In 2016, that had dropped to 32%. So the problem is not that we're more armed than we were. The problem is that people have changed. Young men have changed. They're more violent. Why? That's the bipartisan conversation we need to have now. And that conversation has been drowned out by lunatic attention seekers who are hoping to win the next election. But we don't need them now. Never mind your election. There's something really wrong, and we can figure it out if we try. There are probably a lot of causes. The use of antidepressants in this country is increasing dramatically. Between 1991 and 2018, total SSRI consumption increased in the U.S. by more than 3,000%. 3,000%. Remember, these are supposed to reduce mental illness. Now, that's a real stat. It was published by the medical journal Science of the Total Environment. And it's not just this country. In Canada, state-funded antidepressant prescriptions for young people doubled over the last decade. Then, during the lockdowns, SSRI prescriptions increased even more. A pharmacy group called Express Scripts reported that antidepressant prescriptions went up by more than 20% during COVID. According to the latest figures, more than 40 million Americans are now taking psychoactive drugs. That's roughly 1 in 10. So again, the point of these drugs is to make you healthier mentally, to reduce suicide and violence. And yet suicide rates and rates of violence are spiking. Now, we don't know that that's causation, but it's worth looking at. Of course, it's immoral to criticize Big Pharma, but could we use an honest conversation about this? Yes, immediately. Clearly something's going on. Watch.
Three major medical associations, including the American Academy of Pediatrics, have together declared a national state of emergency in children's mental health caused by COVID. Parents report grief, anxiety, and depression among children, citing school closures and forced isolations as the primary culprits. Suicide attempts among adolescents are rising sharply, most acutely among 12 to 17-year-old girls, by 51% since the start of the pandemic.
Oh, so the lockdowns dramatically increase the incidence of mental illness among young people, and in 10 days we've seen two mass shootings by mentally ill young people. Could there be a connection? Now, that's not finger-pointing. It's not to blame Fauci for yesterday's shooting. We're not that low. We're not Joe Biden. But if people are becoming mentally ill because they're disconnected from others, what can we do to connect them to others and thereby reduce the incidence of mental illness? That's a real conversation. Is there a more important one? Meanwhile, more than 100,000 people just died of ODs. And the pandemic is responsible for some of that. Watch.
New numbers out today from the CDC show how drug overdoses have surged during the pandemic. More than 107,000 Americans died of drug overdoses in 2021. That's the highest annual death toll ever recorded and a 15% increase from the year before. Deaths involving fentanyl, meth, and cocaine rose sharply.
Okay, so people are doing more drugs, they're more unstable, they're killing themselves more often, and in some rare cases, they're killing others. Now, what kind of mindset would it take to go murder children in an elementary school? You are so disconnected from other human beings that that seems okay to you. What could be adding to the feeling of disconnection we have from one another? Well, in 2020, adults in the United States spent an average of 8 hours every day on digital media, staring at a screen. The lockdowns made it worse. They're not the only cause, but they definitely exacerbated it. That's a 20% jump from 2019. One of the people who spent an awful lot of time online during the pandemic was the shooter in Uvalde. He reportedly played a lot of Call of Duty instead of going outside. The shooter in Buffalo also spent a lot of time online as well. In fact, he blamed the internet for radicalizing him. I spent almost a year planning this attack, he wrote on April 26th. Oh, how time flies. If I could go back, maybe I'd tell myself to get the F off 4chan and the World Truth videos and get an actual life. Too late for that now. Now, that's not an argument for censoring those or any other sites. It's an argument for experiencing real life, nature, other people, animals, anything but a screen. Staring at a screen all day puts you into your own world, and in some small number of cases, it drives you insane. It makes you mentally ill and violent. That's very obvious. That's one of the reasons that people in Silicon Valley, the tech executives, don't let their own kids lose themselves in their stupid iPads. Back in September of 2013, after a mass shooting at the Washington Navy Yard, the late Charles Krauthammer identified the problem. We have a lot of mentally ill people, and we need to stop ignoring them. Obviously, we've ignored that warning, so here it is again.
He needed help. 30 years ago, the cops would have brought him to a psychiatric emergency room. He probably would have gotten antipsychotics, and he probably would have been hospitalized for a couple of weeks. That's the way it was done in the 70s when I practiced psychiatry. But today, that doesn't happen. The cops left. He was left on his own. He was a man who shouldn't have been on his own. He should have had the state looking after him, and he ended up killing people in a way that's, look, you want to respect the civil liberties of everybody, but there is a point in which if you don't take control of people who are clearly out of touch with reality, you are damaging them, exposing them, and of course, tragically, exposing a lot of innocents around them.
Yeah, exactly. The stuff is complicated. The human mind is complicated. And if the environment changes, so does the mind. If people can't go outside or talk to other people or spend 8 hours a day staring at a screen, if they're on brain-changing chemicals in huge numbers, tens of millions of people, you think that has an effect? Yeah. What effect? Well, is anyone studying what murderers, not just mass murderers, but all murderers have in common? Apparently not. It would be nice to know. Instead, they're telling us about the gun lobby. Please, no one believes that. And why, by the way, is the answer to mass shootings always universal gun confiscation? Shouldn't we be focused on the people who did it, on the dangerous people? It's like forcing the entire population into drug rehab in response to the fentanyl crisis. Probably better to focus on the addicts. Why did they get addicted? How can we help them? Let's be serious about this. Children died. It's real. Stop with the talking points. Be honest. Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel to catch our nightly.
I meant to edit that off. Sorry about that. Anyway, evidently we had some technical difficulties, and you probably didn't hear me prior to the clip. The reason for that primarily is because I was doing something wrong and you couldn't hear me. But evidently we've got that fixed. Now, we are out of time. That's all the time we got. But the point being made here by Tucker Carlson is that not dead air, I'm thinking. Because of laws in the last 25, 30 years in terms of mental hygiene issues, you know, the left has made it very, very difficult to get anybody locked up for any appreciable amount of time. Krauthammer is absolutely right. Once upon a time, when there was somebody out there like this, when you had a mental case out there and law enforcement was called in, the protocols were you got them to a hospital, you know, whatever you had to do to subdue them, but you did so and you got them to a hospital. They were evaluated, and if prescription, you know, if prescription medications were warranted, they were prescribed. And again, you know, the guy might be hospitalized for a couple of weeks, a month or so. Make sure that the medications are working. Get him a little therapy. Try and pull him back from the brink, from the precipice of insanity, so that he has just as equal a shot at becoming a productive member of society as anyone else. But it doesn't work that way anymore. I can't remember exactly the number, and I don't have time to look it up because we're almost out of time. The large predominance of homeless people are people with mental health issues, and if they had treatment, they probably wouldn't be homeless. I'm afraid that's all the time we've got. The interview with Berardelli went a little bit longer than I anticipated, and then you know how things go. Anyway, I'm done. It's time for the handsome one to come on and shoot his big fat mouth off. So without any further ado, our pal, El Guapo, Mark Hoffman, is with us. Hey, Mark, how's everything tonight?
What's happening, James? Long time, been a long time.
It has been a long time, but you've been out there living the life, man, and doing some great things, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, you know. Spending a lot of time with family, you know. I think this is the time we need to spend time with our families.
And you know what? You're absolutely right, because there's some dark clouds, man. There's a lot of dark clouds out there. And those things that we hold dear, I was just talking about this last night. And I'll go quickly because I know you got a lot to talk about too. But I was talking with Michael Cutler last night. And we were talking about being aware of your blessings, you know, those things around you that give you peace, that give you security, that give you comfort. And what's that? Well, that's your family, that's your livelihood, that's the life that you're cutting out for yourself. It's being left alone to do those things. And in these times of uncertainty, and they're pretty damned uncertain, you know, we look around at the things we can count on and we hold close to them. So I think what you're doing is only natural. And I think that a lot of people are doing that. And having said my piece, I'm going to turn it over so you can say yours, my brother. Ladies and gentlemen, the handsome one himself, El Guapo, Mr. Mark Hoffman. Mark, have a fantastic show. I don't need to tell you that because I know you will, but that's how we do it around here. Get after him, buddy.
All righty. That's right, folks. That was James Bostic in a conservative perspective. Heard here two nights, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. It's great to be back. I've been out a few weeks doing things, going to Alabama, going to Pensacola, heading up to Georgia, relaxing, kicking back, and enjoying the family life. We've been on air here, coming up on 9 solid years of broadcasting, speaking, preaching to the choir. We spoke out about all these issues on numerous occasions, and here we are.
right dab in the middle of all of it. Huge mess. Screaming about taking away the guns. Doing all this crazy stuff that we've been fighting for nearly a decade. Making calls. Sending emails. Writing letters. Standing on street corners. Raising cane. Going to protests. Doing everything we need to do. And here we are. Still worse off than ever before. Sometimes it feels like all our efforts are in vain.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942. Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Yes, indeed, folks, and that's our good friend Dave Bray. He's touring all over the place right now. You can catch him here. You can catch him there. You can catch him everywhere. We're going to play a quick Dave Bray tune and get ready to kick this show off. We're going to be hitting on all the topics of the day that I can remember. I haven't been following news, reading the news, watching the news, or paying attention to anything. I've been completely disconnected, but we'll figure it out. So I'm going to play this song real quick. This is Dave Bray, Freedom Rings, Blood of Heroes. Happens to be one of my favorite songs. God bless the veterans and those who gave the ultimate sacrifice.
For every soul from every war, cross seas, run ashore, break every fold, lost like coffins of lead, this flag, break every dog, live song.
That's right, folks. That's Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com, Music on a Mission, Storyteller Edition. You could find that song. That is Freedom Rings, Blood of Heroes. Incredible stuff. Because, you know, so many people have put their life on the line so that we can be free. They stand up and they defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. At this point in time, I'm wondering where those folks are that pledged to defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Because it is obvious at this point in time, we are dealing with a domestic enemy, somebody from within. There's something very alarming taking place right now, folks. And I don't know if you are aware or know what DEF is. This is a fuel additive to diesel trucks, of which without the trucks cannot, will not drive. So, folks, if you happen to have a gigantic diesel pickup truck, I would stock up on this DEF. The main component of the fuel additive for diesel trucks is made in China, Russia, Qatar, Egypt, and India, all of which have stated that they will be cutting back on exports of this said ingredient for the diesel fuel additive, DEF, in order for diesel trucks in the United States of America to run. And earlier in the week in Alberta, Canada, 43 cars on a train derailed with this ingredient. Where was it heading? It was heading our way. We were going to get some beautiful fertilizing ingredient for DEF, diesel fuel additive for the trucks to run, in order to put toilet paper, paper towels, ice cream, air fresheners, cookies, whatever the case may be, whatever is on the shelves in your favorite supermarket to drive and deliver the goods to your favorite supermarket. Some people go to the Winn-Dixie, some people go to the Piggly Wiggly. I don't know where you shop for your groceries, but the shelves are going to resemble the shelves of Venezuela. Folks, this is a serious issue what's happening right now. This is being perpetrated by the New World Order madmen, sick, demented people who want to take control of the globe and the people. Agenda 2030 is real, and it's upon us, and it's right in our face, and they're throwing it at us. We got the World Health Organization having a summit that wrapped up today, which I have not looked into what happened or what came out of that today, but I know that they were getting ready to sign away the sovereignty of 194 nations pandemic, where the World Health Organization and the United Nations and other global conglomerates run your country, make the rules, dictate quarantines and masks and vaccines and all this other stuff, that when the pandemic hits, your country's constitution, laws, rules, and way of life is over until the pandemic ends. This, folks, is a serious thing called treason. When a country signs its sovereignty away to another body, that is treasonous. It's unbelievable that anybody would consider this. And you know, Jolting Joe Kid Toucha Biden, President of the United States of America, gladly sign his name on the dotted line and give the sovereignty of America to the United Nations and the World Health Organization. This will lead to forced vaccinations or FEMA camps loaded with gigantic FEMA coffins that were purchased during the Obama administration, along with 30,000 guillotines being stored in Georgia and Colorado. folks, these things don't just disappear. And they got them sitting somewhere and they spent the money on them. I'm sure you know they want to use them. Why the United States needs 30,000 guillotines is beyond me. What? Whoa. Someone just hit the muted button on me and then unmuted me. Oh, man, there was only 2 seconds. They didn't miss much. So anyway, the shelves on the supermarkets, they are going to be empty. If you act now, you can go to Amazon.com and get yourself some survival seeds that are non-GMO and that are, what do they call them? I'm going to look it back up. I was looking at it today. Specific name for these specific seeds. What do they call them? I forget now. My phone's kooky. My phone has been acting really whacked. So, I don't know. I'm not going to be able to check right now. I was going to go look into my Amazon and see, but, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to think about growing tomatoes. Maybe some lettuce, plant a few potatoes in the dirt. Get something going. Now, I know corn grows almost anywhere. I had a bird feeder out front. Corn fell out of the bird feeder, and I had corn in the front yard. You know, and I live in suburbia, quarter acre suburbia. You know, here I have corn stalks in the front yard. They're not there now, but they were, and they are now gone, and corn grows anywhere. I'm in the Sunshine State. The state is sand. The damn stuff grew. So, you know. Ammunition would be important. I'm down here in Florida. Doesn't matter how much ammunition I have. There's nothing in the woods anymore to eat. They've done picked the woods pretty clean here in the Sunshine State, and whatever's left is little scrawny deer. But a little scrawny deer feeds your family. Wild boar, squirrels, bunnies, coyotes, foxes. There's animals. There's stuff to eat. This is going to be unlike anything you've ever seen before as this recession starts happening, starts unfolding. The DEF for the diesel trucks dries up, and the people start getting a little frisky. Do you think this summer of love, 2020, you know, they had the Chaz zone there out in Seattle, you know, they cordoned off the blocks and they were burning down mostly peaceful protesters. Do you think that was bad? Wait until there's no food. And pretty soon after there's no food, you can almost guarantee that people will be getting rambunctious and getting ready to find food, get food, steal food from their neighbors. So I would suggest folks getting enough ammo and self-defense mechanisms in your home, getting enough supplies. I use one of the best supplies you can have. You got a spoon, you can eat peanut butter in a jar, loaded with protein, very healthy, and you will not starve to death. I got jars and jars and jars of peanut butter. Soup. Folks, soup lasts on a shelf for a long, long time. Get some soup. Rotate your stock. Keep it up to date. Watch the dates. Eat the stuff that gets close. And, you know, they have so many flavors from minestrone to clam chowder to French onion to tomato to creamy mushroom, whatever you like, this soup. Chunky, the soup that eats like a meal. The food in the can. Some people want to take the can and stick it at the edge of the campfire. But when you put a can of food in the campfire, they put a coating on the inside of these cans so the inside of the cans do not rust when the food is in there. So when you stick that can in the fire, that coating melts into the food. So my suggestion would be anytime you want to make canned goods with a campfire, make sure you have a little pot, saucepan. Some kind of thing that you can cook it in. One thing I learned being down here in the Sunshine State, we have hurricanes and we have disaster preparedness, and we're regularly ready for a situation. Sternos. If you get sternos, a lot of people have sternos. They have parties. They do things. Last time I needed a sterno can in a disaster situation, we had a hurricane and knocked the lights out. We had no power. Other than charcoal grilling, I took a sterno can and I used a little oven grate thing and I put it between a couple of bricks on my top of my stove and I lit the sterno can and I was cooking bacon and eggs with a sterno can and a little frying pan on my stove. Sterno cans are good to have in a disaster. They last a long time. Because think about it, you get these things for parties. People have a party 4 or 5 hours. They stick the sterno cans underneath those dishes, and then things burn 4 or 5 hours. So if you have a pack of 10 sterno cans, you got plenty of hours of cooking time. Sterno can. I've done it. I've eaten food cooked by the heat of a sterno. I was just in the supermarket a little bit ago and saw tiki torches, $5.49 a piece. So you take $30, you get 4 of them, and you have some light. You could sit out in the yard and have some light, keep the bugs away. It is tiki torch time. You know what I mean? I mean, you got to start thinking about this stuff, folks. Things are going to dry up here pretty quick. Once the DEF is done and they can't get it for the trucks will stop. Yeah, maybe someone will be renting the box U-Haul trucks, and they'll be getting vans and doing all this stuff, and they'll be trying to do whatever they can to keep the food moving. But it's going to be not enough. This is happening, folks. This is not a theory. This is not a conspiracy. This is happening. They are having farmers plow over their crops. This is a planned famine that they're getting ready to, a food shortage. They're planning this. They're setting this up to take us out. Folks, we're America. We're Americans. We're resilient. We fight. I don't see, because once they start a full-scale situation, power is going down everywhere. It's going to be a situation that's going to be really horrible. It's going to be rolling blackouts. You know, you live in Florida, you're going to have rolling blackouts. You're going to turn off your air conditioning. You're going to be rationing your food. It's going to be horrible. Trucks need DEF in their fuel to ride. Now on to our next topic. This clown in Texas. I posed a simple question earlier in the week, and it seems to have really taken off. It's been shared numerous times. It's got many, many reactions with thumbs ups and hearts and this, that, and the other thing, and some commenting going on. It's a simple question. They're trying to tell me, kid, 18 years old, it varies whether he had a job or he didn't. He worked at Wendy's, blah, blah, blah. Wendy's in Texas, if he worked 80 hours a week, could not afford the F-150 truck that this kid was driving. Just turned 18 on May 16th, and he's already got two seriously major AR-15s, many magazines, ammunition. The guns in my area, when I looked at similar prices where I'm from, $3,600 worth of guns, $1,400 worth of optics, $500 worth of body armor, and $70,000 truck. A kid who turned 18 on May 16th, 2022. I believe that was the birth date that I seen for this kid. $1,600 worth of guns, $1,000 worth of ammo, $500 worth of body armor, $1,400 in fancy optics so he can make sure he hits his target, and a $70,000 pickup truck. And Grandpa had no clue this kid even had the guns. Within 2 weeks, this kid had these guns, this ammo, these optics, this truck, and was on a mission. You're going to tell me this kid did this alone? You're going to tell me this is a lone wolf, a pack on it? No. I will never believe that this was a lone wolf guy by himself. And how do they pick these people to do this stuff? Columbine, Dylan Klebold. How do they find these guys? What do they offer them? Do any of them that live ever really go to jail? Has anybody ever gone to the prison where these people are and asked to visit them with a recent picture in their hand to see if it's the right person? I don't you want to bet many of these false flag operatives are in a witness protection program somewhere, living large. Lots of money, lots of whatever they need. While families are destroyed and children are murdered by sick, demented governmental agencies that want to take away the guns from the American people in order for them to control and take away the sovereignty of the and freedom that the American people so enjoy. Kind of irritating to think that people my age that went to school in my era that learned the same lessons, reading the same textbooks, sitting in the same seats in the same classrooms as me, would ever be on board with Joe Biden and any of his policies is beyond me. It baffles me. I love the Constitution. 4th of July is my favorite holiday next to Easter, followed closely by Christmas. Got to celebrate Christmas because there is no Easter without Christmas. So I love Christmas too, but it falls there. The birth is not as important as the death. Maybe I'm digging myself a grave here, a little ditch. I don't know. Who knows? But that's, you know, Easter is my favorite because it's the day of salvation. And you know what? I was doing something at the beginning of the show, and I forgot to continue. So I got to do this here. Something that I've been really getting involved in my life is prayer. I've been really digging praying. I really see things happening in my life. Prayers being answered like never before. And this is off my King James app. This is from Psalms 121, verse number 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Night watchmen have tough jobs. They must stay awake through the night and be alert. No napping on the job. They have a very important task. Be on guard through the night. It's difficult to stay awake all night, and even more difficult to be alert during that time. Nonetheless, it is important that a watchman do so. His job is to protect that which he watches over so that no harm comes to it. When a guard stands watch, the one he guards can rest and feel safe. God is our guardian. He is our watchman. He protects us as we sleep. He keeps a watchful eye always. He will not let us slip, and he will not let us sleep. He can rest assured safe in his protective embrace. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for watching over me. Thank you for protecting me. And I know you will not let me fall, and you will keep me safe. And I can rest peacefully knowing that you are ever vigilant in my safety and protection. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So now you have the master down there in Texas, Beto O'Rourke, Master Beto, standing up and confronting Governor Abbott as he speaks about this horrific incident perpetrated by some kooky clown with an AR-15 that somehow, some way, between May 16th and a couple days ago, he got his hands on $3,600 worth of guns, $1,400 worth of optics, $1,000 worth of ammunition, and a $70,000 F-250 pickup truck. And he drove through. He killed Granny. First he killed Granny, so now the police are after him because he's a murderer. that is searching for a murder suspect. They engage the murder suspect. The murder suspect then gets into the school and apparently is in there for over an hour. And then a Border Patrol agent stormed into the school and eradicated the threat while being injured himself. It's prior and it's crazy. You know, 15, 20 minutes really isn't enough time to go, oh my God, this guy might be a threat. But apparently he'd been making silly little threats beforehand. And they failed. They dropped the ball. They let this guy go. They let him then get into a school and kill 18 kids, a teacher, and then himself. Or have himself killed by gunfire from a hero Border Patrol agent. Let those who would hurt the children tie a yoke around their neck and drown themselves rather than hurt the children. The fact that these guys so many times wind up dead and don't get to have the punishment they so deserve is beyond me. How any of these guys make it to prison and live even for a minute is beyond me. If I was a prisoner in a jail and I knew that my time was my time and I was never getting out, people like this would be eliminated if I was in jail for an extended period of time, like the rest of my life. I recently read a story and saw a story where a guy, he was in jail and he was a maximum security threat, but he had been an exemplary prisoner, and so they moved him to a lesser of a secure area where he can have a little more freedom with other inmates, and they put him in a tier with two child molesters. So he told the guards that, listen, you have got to get me out of here or get them out of here because I am going to kill them. Har, har, hearty, har, har. They didn't believe him. So now he's there, he sees one of these guys, and he kills him. And on his way to tell the corrections officers that he just killed this child molester, he encounters the second child molester, which he kills. So now he's got them both dead. The one he killed pretty close to the guard, you know, the guard cage where they can stay safe from the inmates. He goes up and says, hey, I killed those two child molesters. They're like, yeah, right, whatever. He goes, well, look right over there. You can see him. There's the one of them. I said, holy moly. He's like, I'm turning myself in. I'm guilty. I did it. I killed them. He didn't resist. He took his punishment. He killed these two child molesters. This is what an exemplary prisoner is like to me. Took the pedophiles out. God bless him. And Jesus is there for him, for his repentance, if he really feels bad. But I think it would be pretty hard to feel bad for taking somebody out like that. Taking out a guy who goes into a school and shoots up lunch people. Look at Sandy Hook, right? We proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that was some kind of operation carried out by many facets of law enforcement and the media. It was a practice drill, live shooting drill that actually went live, and they killed people on purpose. I believe it to be true that they kill people to advance gun control on purpose. This is a fact. It's an undisputed fact that these clowns in our governmental agencies across this globe are killing children to advance their agendas. And then, of course, we got the border crisis. The border is just unbelievable. You don't even need me to speak about it. I've had people for on this show so many times talking about the border. I had people from San Diego, California. I had people from New Mexico, Arizona, and Texas, all on the show at various times over the years, trying to scream and yell about illegal immigration. Because once an illegal immigrant kills one American person, that's one person too many that could have been prevented, and now it's an issue. Illegal immigrants are killing Americans at alarming rates. When you add the deaths from fentanyl and cocaine and MS-13 gangs and child trafficking and sex trafficking and the abuse and the violence and the crime that comes with this element from dark, dirty, poor, desolate countries. Now, you wouldn't know these people come from countries like that because they're all dressed in fine new clothes, nice new shoes, fancy phones, bags of beautiful bags, handbags, Gucci bags, fancy watches, jewelry, everything. They're coming 2,000 miles from Guatemala across Mexico, and they look like they're just ready to go to church. How do people who straggled across 2,000 miles of Mexico from the south, from the southern border of Mexico, travel all the way to the northern border of Mexico with the United States and look like they've been showering and bathing and they got laundry machines, they're washing their clothes, they're doing all this? How the heck do they show up at the border clean shaven, new phones, clean clothes, they're not ragged, they're not tired, they're rested, they look like they're ready to throw a fiesta? Call out the mariachi band and off you go. It's the, Mexican hat dance on the border. It's really a scary situation what's happening here in the United States of America today. My father, Korean War veteran, and many other veterans that fought in the battles, rolled up on the beaches of Normandy, were blown to bits in Pearl Harbor, were victorious over the Nazis and liberated the Jews, and raised the flag at Iwo Jima, and nuked the crap out of the enemy in Japan, and won a war, a world war. These guys who died on the beach of Normandy, barely 18 years old, would think today of an 18-year-old who sits in a college, university, auditorium getting a lesson from some liberal telling him that if you're white, you should be guilty. It's all your fault. That the globe is going to warm up so bad that the ice caps are going to melt and drown us all. Folks, that leads me to something. I want to challenge everybody. It would be great if people could give me the results. Go to your freezer. Fill the glass with ice. Fill the glass with water. And leave it on the counter. And let the ice melt. Now you will find that the glass does not overflow. So why on earth are they telling us if the icebergs melt that the sea level is going to rise? It makes no sense. I'm a dumbass. I got a GED. I think about things, though. No one told me that. I thought about that one day, like, wait a minute. My glass full of ice and water never overflows when the ice melts. So why on earth, if an iceberg melts, is the sea level going to rise? But so many idiots fell for it, and they believe it to be true. Oh, my. The icebergs are melting in the sea, but Miami's going to be underwater. Ask Al Gore. Well, listen, I live about 5 hours north of Miami, and Miami's not underwater. Supposed to be underwater, what, 2013? I don't know, was it 2003? I forget. But Al Gore told us it was an inconvenient fib. Because there was no truth to it. The guy made billions, money hand over fist. lying and cheating and stealing through this global warming hoax and scam. But y'all fell for it. We have global warming. Well, I recently went to a museum in one of my excursions with my lovely family, and on the wall was a thing that stated about global warming. And over the last few billion years, I don't know how many billions of years, but while digging through soil and looking at soil samples and being archaeological about themselves, they noted that 24 times over the course of the life of the Earth, it has warmed and cooled. There's been global warming 24 times, according to archaeologists, in the life of this planet. Global warming is something that you cannot and will not ever stop. There will also be global cooling. Because if you remember, I remember, and I stated this before on this show, and I'll state it again. In 1978, we were all going to freeze to death. The ice age was coming. We're all going to die. We're going to freeze to death. Well, guess what? That didn't work. Because now we're going to all boil to death. So in order to prevent us from boiling to death, they're going to spray aluminum, strontium, and barium into the clouds to deflect the sun rays away and create artificial clouds to cool the earth. It's called geoengineering. Head on over to www.geoengineeringwatch.org. My friend Dane over there running that amazing site, we had him on a long time ago when chemtrails were amazing all over the place. And they still are, apparently. There's just not that many here in Florida, but they're out there. Chemtrails. Listen, if you want to learn about chemtrails, search geoengineering. Geoengineeringwatch.org will give you all the info. Anything you want to know, up to date, brand new news, what's happening in the world of geoengineering. Under President Trump, I almost never seen the planes. Now that Biden's here, I still don't see the planes that much here in Florida, but I see them. They're there. They're flying across the sky. Sometimes they do it at night. If it's to deflect the sun rays and keep the earth cool, why on earth would they chemtrail, geoengineer, in the night? If you don't believe that geoengineering is true, I implore you. Go around town and take soil samples. Take one from your backyard, take one from your front yard. Go around the block, take one from Granny's yard. Go down to the school, take one from the schoolyard. Have them analyzed for aluminum, strontium, and barium. And then ask, what are normal levels to be in the soil? You'll be shocked. We had two ladies out of California. They did this, and it was amazing. They come on my show a long time ago. They were two neighbors. They were standing out on their front porch talking to each other, looking down the street. They live about 5-6 houses from each other. They're standing on the front of their house, you know, on the front stoop, waving at each other, talking on the phone, and a plane went flying over with this substance coming out of it. It looked like spider webs. It got all in the trees and everything. So these nice ladies went out, and they gathered it all together, and they had it tested. And the results were like, holy moly. So they tested the ground. They started testing different things. And they found that these high concentrations of aluminum, strontium, and barium are in the soils all over the place. And it's at high elevated levels, not that of natural normal levels of aluminum, strontium, barium that might be in a soil sample. Aluminum has been linked to Alzheimer's. So why not cause Alzheimer's and get everybody sick so they can't remember shit? That's the way it is. I don't know, folks. I love my freedom. I love my country. I love my God. I love my family. I love all you guys who tune in and girls who tune in every episode of the Patriot Nation radio show and make this show happen. There's a lot of things going on, folks, and it's pretty scary. My son is graduating fifth grade, and he's going into middle school, and pretty soon he's going to graduate from high school, and what's he going to go out into the world and be? Who knows? Will he be able to go out into the world and be? Will there be a world for him to be in? Where will we be? Jolting Joe Biden tells China if he messes with Taiwan, we're going to use force. I'm sorry, but the force is not real. The force will not be with you. You will not have Lando Calrissian coming to save the day with, you know, with Han Solo and Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia cake. They're not coming, Chewbacca. It's not going to save the day. You're not going to see C-3PO and R2-D2. Man, oh, man. These are interesting times that we live in. They are. I still got 15 minutes to talk, and I'm running out of things to say here, folks. You know, Elon Musk buys Twitter. Yay. You know, whoop-de-doo-dah, dippity-day. Who cares? Yeah, I'm trying to look here, something to talk about. I have no idea, because it's all about the same crap. Whoopi Goldberg. Biden is officially the least popular president since World War II. Monkeypox. There it is. Monkeypox, folks. A.K.A. shingles. I knew I would find something else to talk about here to wrap up the last 15 minutes. Now, I want to get back to the World Health Organization summit, where they're going to vote to take up the sovereignty of 194 nations during the pandemic at the very time that monkeypox is breaking out. Sounds a little bit like a plandemic and a scandemic, and they're getting ready to put the hammer down on God-fearing, freedom-loving, patriotic Americans once again. They have never lifted the state of emergency. We are still under the state of emergency for COVID-19, folks. Why? Because if they lift it, they can't vaccinate you. Because it's so screwed up. So they're going to try to steal our sovereignty. That's going to go over great with God-fearing, America-loving patriots. But it turns out that these folks that swear they're going to stand up and defend our country from all enemies, foreign and domestic, like the Oath Keepers used to say, you know, they're kind of ramshackle now because they wound up at the June 6th fiesta at the Capitol. I refuse to call it an insurrection. This was not an insurrection. This was a setup. They set these people up. My good friend Audrey now is getting in all kinds of crap. Why? Because she followed some people through the door and carried a flag in the rotunda. It's really sad. Really, really something else. Plandemic, scandemic, vaccinations. They want to force vaccinate all of us because there's something in that vaccine. I don't know what. They wouldn't push so hard and want 70% of their population to be vaccinated with this vaccine, who's not even a vaccine, because the very definition of a vaccine is that it eradicates a disease, and this does not eradicate nothing. People still get sick. People still die. COVID's a joke. It's bullshit. It's the flu. COVID has been around forever. The common cold is a COVID virus. The common cold is COVID. Time you try to point stuff out to people that don't believe Fauci to be wrong or the CDC to be telling false information will just not even entertain, listen, hear, or talk to you in regards to anything that goes against what they believe. Even if it's factual with numbers and proof and evidence, it don't matter. Fauci said it and it came out of the CDC, it's fact. So, get ready, folks. They're trying to steal our sovereignty, they're trying to shut down the trucks, and they're trying to starve us. It's coming. Cabinets, get yourself pasta, get yourself tuna fish in a can. I'm telling you, get it. Don't mess around. This is coming, man. We're going to be having the fight of our lives coming up here pretty soon. and it's going to be quite interesting. Well, we got another episode of the Patriot Nation radio show under our belt with 10 minutes to go. We're going to chit-chat here a little bit about upcoming stuff. I have nothing upcoming. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to be getting ready to kick off our local candidate series this year. I got, because I have some friends that are running. We have the infamous Laura Loomer is running in my area. Now, we've just had some redistricting. I haven't found out what district I'm in yet, 11 or 12 here in the Florida area. But either way, Pastor Jack Martin for District 12 and Laura Loomer for District 11. We're trying to get these folks to come on. Jack will be on the show. We'll get Jack. We'll get a few other candidates. We'll get a school board candidate or two on, maybe a county commissioner. And we'll get this ball rolling for the local elections. Local elections is really where it counts for you folks, because these people deal with your everyday lives. They're making laws and rules and things that affect you directly. So you want to look into your state senators and your state representatives. You know, it's very important to elect people who will stand behind your governor. Right now in Florida, we have some rhino Republicans who are not standing with the great governor Ron DeSantis. They're doing a lot of shady stuff and blocking things like constitutional carry, because guys like Wilton Simpson wrote the bill for Marjorie Stoneman Douglas massacre that restricted guns. They're not going to do anything that goes against their darling legislation. So, folks, you want to look into your local election school boards, very important school boards, school board members that are pushing critical race theory and other crazy things like pornographic books in third grade libraries that are so graphic that they won't allow you to read them at the school board meeting, but the little third grade girl can take it out at the school library. But the grown adult can't read it because it's so vulgar and disgusting at the school board meeting. Folks, you want to look into your school boards. The ones that are pushing this liberal malarkey, critical race theory, and other indoctrinating programs to overthrow our country, make people dependent, socialize everything, redistribute the wealth. Look at the redistributing of wealth, what it has done to the economy. Here's $400, here's $600, here's $1,200, and now here's inflation, here's rising gas prices, here's everything through the roof. And what are you going to do? Nothing. You're going to suck it up, buttercup, and take it. That's what we do. What are you going to do? There's nothing you can do to change anything. Could maybe consider electing patriots and not politicians. Stop electing these politicians and elect patriotic, America-loving patriots who love the Constitution and our founding documents and God. And things will go in the right direction, people. You have nothing to worry about. So get ready for the candidate forums coming up on the Patriot Nation Radio Network starting here pretty soon. We'll probably kick it off with Pastor Jack Martin as our first guest. And I'm going to look to get some liberals on here and have them tell me why I should vote for them, and we'll see what happens. We'll keep the ball moving. We'll keep the show rocking. It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show. So tune in Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network for the Patriot Nation Radio Show Live. www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. Head on over there, check out the archives. We've got 1,115 shows or something like that up on the board. We had some great interviews. We had some great shows. And we're looking forward here in the near future to get Devil Dogs USA with Gonzalo Duran rolling again. That'd be great. I don't know how we're going to pull it off. It's really hard. I can't produce anymore because my stupid phone plan that I'm stuck with, because it's the right plan. It's cheap. As everything skyrockets, my plan stays the same, $93. unlimited PCS. Get yourself a phone right away. So anyway, folks, Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Don't forget American Allegiance with author Kevin White, Wednesday, 7 p.m., doing great things on the Patriot Nation Radio Network and A Conservative's Perspective Tuesdays and Thursdays. And look for pop-up shows on off days, Mondays and Fridays, sometimes on the weekend shows pop up. June 25th, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Show, we'll be having a constitutional carry rally at the Hernando County Fairgrounds in Florida. So if you're in Florida near Hernando County on June 25th between the hours of 12 and 5 p.m., come join us at the Hernando County Fairgrounds. We'll have guest speakers. We'll have fun booths, things you can do, food, who knows what else. Come on down to the Hernando County Fairgrounds between noon and 5, June 25th, at the Hernando County Fairgrounds. And right now it's the end of the show. And I'm going to play my good friend Dave Ray, DaveRayUSA.com, Music on a Mission, Story of the Hill Edition, and other music and merchandise and tour dates and everything there on the site. Check it out. This is, if you happen to be near a flag or you're anywhere listening, please rise, move your hats, hand over your heart. This is Dave Ray, Dave Ray USA, Star Spangled Banner commercial. It always comes with a commercial. That's just the way it is on a YouTube these days. I get all my stuff off my YouTube because that's where it's at. And so it's the Star Spangled Banner performed by Dave Bray. Thanks for tuning in. This has been the Patriot Nation Radio Show, heard Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Good night, and God bless.